flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't deny 34 and 5. Audio courtesy of TNT. Is that a chant we can do?
Oh, we can chant, until the cows come home, Kenny.
Well, does it work for you, though? If it doesn't work, we won't do it.
It's not as good as the one we had all before. Right. Really, well, them losing that game to Indiana messed up all the chanting.
We'll go back to the drawing board.
They had such a perfect chant. You know, you heard him say it right there. You know, felt like a playoff game. And really, you've had two games now against them, and that's how the playoffs look. You know, we've been wondering what this Cavs team, what that kind of looks like come playoff time. Because the regular season, everything's kind of come easy to them. And I don't mean to make it seem like they're not putting in work or whatever. No, their dominance is why the games are looking easy to them, or feeling easy to them, because these other teams have just had no answers to any of the stuff that they do. And so right now the Pacers are a 6 seed. Obviously the Cavs are the 1 seed. And with a bullet, as they have a 6-game lead over the Boston Celtics, the defending champs, you know, you do wonder what this is going to look like and what a play. What's going on?
On the basket.
You're laughing the entire time.
I can't tell you. I'm sorry. Now I can't do it. I'm thinking of Chance, and I wrote it in the message. And now I can't
say
do
it. Say it out loud.
No.
Well, everyone's going to be wondering now.
No, never mind. I'm sorry. I wanted to ask before I did it, so no. Now I really can't do it, so forget it. Did you see the messenger?
No.
Hey, look at the messenger. I went. Not, it sucks, not because I can't tell anybody. I can't do it. I made a big deal about it, so I can't do it. All right. So, yeah, everything you said is true, I assume. You could have said trade them all for a second. I don't know. Yeah. I was asking him questions. It was show-related, I swear to God, on my kids. But, yeah. What are you going to do? So, yeah, everything you just said, I'm sure it was true. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. We're off to a great start. Did you see the story about players wanting to come here?
Yes.
Now, is that in free agency or is that in trades?
Oh, I just think in general. Now, there's not really going to be much free agency for the Cavs going forward.
Yeah. I mean, they are 34-5, so people might want to come here in some sort of a trade. I'm not going to be very much fun about it. Like I said, I hope that I'm glad that people want to come here. This is a new, fresh experience for me. I do think though that, like, when it comes to the core four, no. And I was like, man, I just don't feel. I know you brought up Caris LeVert, but that's only because of a what? Because salary. implications, things like that. You can get some wiggle room at some point.
They don't want to mess up the flexibility situation over the next 3 years during this window. And unfortunately, to do that,
that
has nothing
make
to,
him a casualty.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the Dan Gilbert's unwillingness to spend money. It's not a tangible financial thing at this point. Mm-hmm. It's the new league rules prevent you from really doing anything to help your team once you get to a certain cap level.
Okay.
So you don't want to restrict yourself. And if someone like Caris LeVert is the casualty to that this year, I think you understand that.
Fair enough. I can understand that. I do think, though, like I heard Jimmy Butler. I'm not going to deny that Jimmy Butler's been the better playoff player than Darius Garland. But I also think that Darius is earning the right to let me down in the postseason, if that makes any sense to anybody else. Does that make sense to you? I'm not saying that. Like, he's earned the right for me to go, let's take this core four into the postseason.
And see what he does.
Like, Donovan, I don't think is a movable piece, so forget about that. But, like, the rest of the core four, like, I'm not moving any of them. They're solid. Everybody's there. But if we get to, like, Boston and all of a sudden it's like, this is becoming a problem or that's becoming a problem. Okay, well, Darius, Jarrett, Evan Mobley, to a certain degree. I know that he's been considered untouchable in the past, but throw the other three in there out of the core four. They've earned the right to step up in the postseason and take us to the NBA Finals, or they've earned the right to let me down in the postseason. I don't think there's any sort of a move that you can make from a 34-5 basketball team. And I can't go. I told you the other day when they lost on Sunday night, I can't go looking for my own problems. When they lose or they struggle, I have to listen to Kenny Atkinson to say, okay, later in the year, Kenny Atkinson highlighted this. He highlighted a third quarter problem. He highlighted perimeter defense. He said it. I didn't. Because I feel if I go looking for things, I'm going to go looking in the wrong places. Because why examine and be? I want to examine, but why?
Yeah, we obviously,
I don't trust myself to find flaws on a 34-5
basketball
team.
We didn't even bother
with it. I really don't.
We didn't do one negative about the team at all after the one loss.
There is none.
Which is where everybody else. I mean, if you pay attention to the Knicks fans, if you pay attention to the Boston fans, they are kind of like the Boston fans for the first 2 months are like, who cares? We're the defending champs. Now they're like, we're six games behind the Cavs. Like, come on. Like, let's start paying attention
straight
a little bit here.
Is there any sort of a conversation to have about the perimeter defense, though, of Indiana? Because, like, they shot, 20-something percent on Sunday night? They shot 34%, which is better, obviously better. But it's, I mean, they're averaging almost 40% for the season from long range. Like, is there anything, like,
well,
sometimes matchups
is,
are matchups.
Part of this is, and I want to be careful saying this because the Cavs have defied all logic, all expectations. I mean, they ran back the team from last year.
I'd rather you be irresponsible.
And they look so magnificent in what they are. Their shooting's going to come down a little bit. Like, they have everybody is having career years shooting the ball from three. Like, the entire team. You just don't expect that to. I don't care how good your coach is. I don't care how good. Like, teams are going to learn how to play you a little bit differently. They're going to throw some different things at you. And you saw that the last two games. What did the Pacers do? They went full court press in both games. And it did bother. It did bother us. So that sped us up a little bit. We were a little more herky jerky. We weren't as comfortable. Now, saying all that, what did the Cavs end up with last night? 127 points. So there's only so much you could do to this team. Like, that's how good they are. But I do expect the second half of the year to be much harder than the first half. And that has nothing to do with the Cavs, like, the Cavs are going to fall apart. No, it's because it's the NBA. I've never seen a team be this dominant over the full 82. It's just never happened in the history of the league. And do I think that the Cavs are so special that they're going to do something that's never been done before? No. I don't.
But it's also, it's January. I don't see them making any significant trades, so then it becomes like, this is who you are.
This is who they are.
So
and,
you're a three-point shooting team. And
just a knock on wood.
Great.
Knock on wood on this, obviously, but they've also been the healthiest team in the NBA this year. So I don't see all the stars aligning for you to have. And by the way, I don't need them to have an all-time regular season because this is year three of Donovan Mitchell. Like, we're supposed to have playoff expectations at some point. This amazing first half of the year that they've gotten off to, is I think starting to drive up expectations a little bit when you've got some prominent figures saying, yeah, they can go toe-to-toe with the Boston Celtics. Some people are going to maybe even start to pick the Cavs over the Boston Celtics.
I'm going to play one of those right now. I'll skip Mobley for a second here. Let's get to Shaquille O'Neal. This is last night on TNT.
I think they're the best team in the East. That's okay. What I think.
Over Boston?
Wow, over Boston?
Yes, I do. I think Boston gets a little bit more props because they're the champion, but the way this Donovan kid is playing, I've been hard on Donovan the last 3 years.
His entire career, I feel like you've been motivating.
Hard to the point to where people think I don't like him.
He has been hard on him his entire career. Again, audio courtesy Inside the NBA on TNT. I'm glad it's starting to come around. Like we asked the question last week about disrespect. People love to put a chip on their shoulder. I think everybody's going to be rooting for the Cavs in the Eastern Conference. I think if you put one of those maps up there, it's all going to be wine, and there's going to be one portion of the one small corner of the map that's going to be green. I mean, that's it. It's going to be weird. Everybody's going to be rooting for you to beat the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are a classic, obviously legendary basketball organization, and if you don't love them, everybody hates them, and they're going to be rooting for you. Plus, the Cavs are a likable team. They're just a likable team. People like their coach. People like their players. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch them.
Yeah, they right now they're in such a perfect headspace, and how could they not be? Like you'd have serious issues if why are those guys bickering? They're 34-5. No, nobody's going to bicker on a 34-5 team, no. And they don't have a Draymond Green that is going to start fights where there are none. Now that was some of that is with a purpose, right? Some of that is with a purpose, and I am curious to see, you know, some of the rap on the Cavs has been they are a bunch of good guys. Do you need to turn it up a notch? Do you have to have a different level when it comes to the postseason when things are going to be different? Look, the Cavs are so good that I imagine whoever they play in the first round is just going to try to rough them up. It's just going to try to be ridiculously physical.
So who's
and
our
try
muscle?
Try to get them started, try to get some more. Well, you got Tristan off the bench, you know, but you see what right. I mean? Like, nobody thinks, none of the teams that they would face in the first round really think they could beat them fair and square in a series.
True.
So the playoffs are going to be so much different physicality-wise, and where the Cavs might sweep a team in the first round, but there could be ejections. There could be, you know.
I like ejections.
Other teams, but you know we're going to be the hunted at that point. It's going to be a little different than years past.
George will probably come on the show next week.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk him into being the muscle?
I think so. He's a big guy.
He is a big guy. He's leaned out. He lost like 20-25 pounds over the offseason, and he's kept it off.
Let's face it, too.
Seems tough.
You got to have guys that are willing to maybe get ejected.
Well yeah.
And that don't curtail muscle, your playoff hopes.
The muscle's not a physical thing. The muscle's an attitude.
Well, yeah.
So
true.
George doesn't need to put 20 back on to go be the muscle.
Yeah, like Kelly Olynyk's if you saw him in public, he'd be a big guy.
Your arm out of your socket if you're not careful.
You have to have some guys you're willing.
Dangerous.
You're willing to escalate a little bit or be the de-escalator on the other side of things. And then, we had Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton and George Niang have both been ejected from this game. Okay, we win.
Now we're talking.
We'll take that
you know what I mean? That's where you get to in the playoffs. I don't think teams, especially if the Cavs are just drilling teams, I think at some point other teams are going to be like, all right, we're sick and tired of Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell celebrating every basket.
Here we go. Power rank the guys. I'm going to do it. Power rank the guys that we think that can go out there and cause a problem for us. I already got three right off the top of my head. You ready?
Or respond to the problem.
Respond to the problem.
Yeah, that's the whole point here. We don't want guys openly starting
headhunters. Let's call it headhunters. Number one, how about Craig Porter Jr.? Go in there and earn your keep, young man. Go.
You did think he was a security guard for a little bit.
Yeah, I said that, didn't I? He did kind of resemble a security guard.
Now, he's only 6'1".
What does that matter?
Even Matthew Dellavedova had some size.
You're a professional athlete. Get out there and mix it up. Number two... All right, this is a question, though. Do we need him for his defense? Isaac Okoro. I think Isaac Okoro has a mean streak to him.
Oh, and he's rock solid.
Number three, Jalen Tyson. 6'6", 215 Get out there and mix it up, young
they
man.
They can be a scrapper.
Let's go. When we get to the postseason,
and on your
the
power
rotation
ranking,
shrink.
Number 342, Amani Bates.
Now, why do you say that, Tone?
Did we see him get in a fight with fans earlier in the year in a G League game?
Did he?
He is from Detroit.
Did he?
Wasn't there a little scuffle?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, maybe, I thought we talked about it.
We might have. I don't know. There's things that come into my head and go out of my head, and either way, it kind of threw. Yeah, but you will need as much as it's funny. We will need somebody to kind of step in there and be the police, be the enforcer. Because I think you're right. I think some of these teams are going to get frustrated, and I think they're going to try to dirty it up.
But would you agree with me here? And I'm very interested to see if this starts to permeate a bigger discussion. I was talking to somebody yesterday, a longtime NBA insider. It was Jeff Phelps. And I was talking.
Man, I was going to say it. I was like, all right, you already glared at me once during this segment. I don't want you to do it again.
I was talking to Jeff Phelps, and I was trying to say best players on championship teams in the NBA. There has been a typical theme over the course of my entire NBA life that you got to have one of the best players in a game to win a championship. That's almost always been the case. And the one caveat I could come up with was Detroit Pistons, the 2004 team that beat Kobe and Shaq and Karl Malone and Gary Payton. They were injured and whatever. They were terrible. And they ran them off the court. It was five games. And Chauncey Billups, I think, was their best player. But remember, they had like eight guys that were all kind of similar. And that was an anomaly. That was counter to the way that my whole life the NBA had been. The best player in the Cavs is Donovan Mitchell.
Yes.
He is regarded as like a top 15 player, but he's never really been like top five in the NBA, Donovan Mitchell. So you'd have the worst best player to win a championship is in a long time, in 20, 25 years in the NBA.
I don't think that would bother any fans.
Wouldn't bother any of them. Are you kidding me? But it would mean that the league has to change. And are the Cavs a part of a change right now? Are they implementing a change? Could this be the future with the tax apron, no big threes? Could this be the future of the NBA? So what we are all hoping for is that, for once, the playoffs are just like the regular season. We want the regular season to be the playoffs.
Can I answer that question later in the show?
Oh, yeah.
Because I need some time to think about something like that.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Cavaliers able to avenge the loss to the Indiana Pacers last night. It was 127-112. Ken had mentioned earlier, they only shot 34% from three-point range. But certainly made up for it. They were 26 of 31 at the free throw line. Them being able to get there was nice. Donovan Mitchell had that excellent, excellent, excellent first quarter. He exploded out of the gates. It's so funny. Yesterday at the end of the show, I kind of whispered, I'm like, the internet had some chatter because you got to find a problem with every team. You got to find something to get better at. And you made a good point. You're like, well, coaches do have to do that. Coaches are always trying to make the team better.
That's why I'd rather just, because if I sit here and I try to find flaws with a 34-5 team, they're going to be outside the door waiting to beat me up. I'm not going to do that. I'll listen to Kenny. I will listen to Kenny. Like, football, I'll do it with some things because there's so many pieces. Basketball, I'm just going to listen to Kenny Atkinson
Donovan Mitchell had scored 15, 19, 11, 19. Four straight games where, you know, our best player didn't really look like a best player. But a big part of that, obviously, has been Kenny Atkinson came in and asked to get a buy-in from the superstar so everybody else could get their games lifted. Well, what have we seen from Darius? What have we seen from Evan Mobley? I mean, their games have gone to another level. They're both going to be all-stars. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how good they are going to be. And last night, national television, what do you know? On the road.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Donovan's like, yeah, I'm going to take over first quarter. And he did. And he ends up with 35 points. Donovan Mitchell on avenging, or at least being able to get that win, and not necessarily stuff the stat sheet on most nights.
I'm doing what's called, what's asked of me, not really worrying about, you know, the perception of it. We're winning high level, and some nights are going to be where I got to be aggressive. I think the one thing that's going to remain the same is the aggression. This is going to be nights where I continue just to lead in different ways. But how, as long as we win the game, you know, as long as we're winning, may not be the way everybody's used to me, you know, doing it, but we're winning. We're the, you know, the best record league, so clearly it's working.
So Cavaliers able to get a victory yesterday. And Max Strus was pretty good off the bench. We talked about the full court pressure that the Pacers were able to deploy. And I said yesterday they'd have an answer this time around. Eventually, they did have an answer. And that has been really the true mark of this team, that they have been able to overcome, you know, any challenges that they get thrown their way. It really has not bothered them. This is a team that does feel like it can win a bunch of different ways.
Now,
last night, they felt like they needed the superstar to step up in the opening quarter, and that's exactly what they did.
And that said, even though I said what I just said about, hey, I'm going to listen to Kenny Atkinson, if they would have lost again to Indiana, I think then you're going, well, what's the matchup here and what are other teams learning? Because it's, you know, there are teams that you just, you don't match up well with. And Indiana might be a team that you, that matches up better against you than other teams. All right, how do I figure out ways to get past them? That's where your talent has to shine through.
What do you think? We got the Cavs flexed for two more times, two additional times. What, the Boston Celtics game?
Yes.
Going to be flexed?
Yes.
This is going to be, I think this probably means we're probably going to be playing later basketball.
Bright lights.
Probably, maybe a lot of those games can be switched back. That was the one thing I was a little annoyed with when we had LeBron. It's like, all the 7 o'clock games are now 8 o'clock games.
Well, I do have these here because these are Eastern time games. This is from the Cavs yesterday. The Cavs taking on Atlanta January 30th. That is, the game time changed to 7 on January 30th, the Boston at Cleveland February 4th now, TNT, both these games are TNT, that game time changed to 7:30, okay. 7:30.
Not too bad.
Thank you.
But I think those that were wondering when the respect was coming, I kind of feel like over the last week, since the Oklahoma City game, the respect thing has kind of been a non-issue, right? We're getting the respect.
I mean, ever since that one, that's
you're
basically
getting all
what
the national talking heads now, which is where you
You just didn't get
That's your respect gauge, right?
Yeah, you just didn't get it for the first third of the season. But I think a lot of people are like, yeah, you kind of got to earn that.
It's weird. Shaq has strong opinions, but he's not like a flamethrower. He's not that guy.
He just picks on superstars.
Well, yeah, but he's willing to like go, like he's not like going to draw it out and then like do a Stephen A. and walk in and do champion's pose. He's willing to say like a guy, he's not, I don't think he's going to say he was wrong because he probably wasn't wrong back then. I mean, I got to uncover some history there again when Donovan was at Utah. But when you have Shaq saying like, hey, Donovan, I've been hard on him. And he's doing a great job, and this is a team that can go to an NBA Finals. Like, yeah, you respect that opinion. I respect Shaq.
He does pick his fights, and then they linger. But you're right. He's not like every time on TNT, just with a laundry list of guys he's attacking.
It's such a weird thing with him. Yeah, he's never trying too hard. He's never trying too hard with it. So I take that respect. I love it.
Meanwhile, Ohio State. Getting ready for the national championship game Monday night. They're still practicing in Columbus. Chip Kelly, offensive coordinator, he addressed the media yesterday and was asked whether or not now there's less pressure on Ryan Day.
I do not sense any load off of his shoulders right now. Maybe ask me that question next Tuesday, but I do not sense any load off of his shoulders right now. No.
Imagine what it's like to be right now, Ryan Day. Like, you know Ryan Day wants to do an I told you so. Mm-hmm. Right? People like me who... you heard Dennis Dodd yesterday. Like, Dennis Dodd's telling him, hey, go to the NFL. Get out of this craziness where you're going to be ripped for having one of the best records in college football
history. Trust me, I heard Dennis Dodd yesterday.
Did he hear you?
He did not hear you.
Did not hear me.
So, you got to imagine, like, Ryan Day's one game away. But it's almost like we're right back to the pressure of that Michigan game. We are right back there.
But don't you feel like he's going to cut the same thing that he did after Notre Dame last year? He's going to do it on the whole country.
Oh, yeah.
He should.
If he gets the win.
I hope he has names.
He should.
I hope
call
he has
people out.
Names uh-huh. One by one.
That's the fun of this sport.
Hey, I've had do Ohio it. State coaches give me a call before because of things I said online.
I was in the room.
So
I can be the witness for it. Yeah, I hope he goes out there and he does it. Which, by the way, if you want to hear... the opposite of James Lipton on In the Actor Studio. Please go back and listen to our interview with Dennis Dodd yesterday, especially my questions or the attempts at questions with Dennis Dodd yesterday from CBS. You wrote last week that, hey, win or lose, he should take off.
3-1,000, 4-1,000.
Yeah. Is that
yeah.
a question?
Oh, yeah. Audio courtesy of our show. Go to 923thefan.com to hear the whole thing.
Now, towards the end of the show yesterday, we got word there was going to be a Mike Tomlin press conference. And some Pittsburgh fans and some Pittsburgh
media
started to think, well, this is weird. What's going on here? Why are they making the announcement like this? Well, Mike Tomlin not going anywhere and was even asked on whether or not there could be a Mike Tomlin trade.
At least one team has reached out to inquire about your availability. Understanding that you have a no-trade clause in your contract, what's your message to any team that may reach out to the Steelers to gauge interest or availability in your services?
I have no message. Save your time.
So, Mike Tomlin going nowhere. You always wonder, is there a trade that Pittsburgh could be like, no, Mike Tomlin is our coach. Oh, wait, they're going to give us that? Is there ever a situation where you could even be on the fence to
he's
that
never
degree?
Gonna be, he's never going to be on the dais saying, like, oh, yeah, make the trade for me. But, yeah, behind the scenes, there could be a possibility where they ask him and he goes, I could see myself being there. I could see myself coaching that team.
It's funny. If you would have ever told me, Ken, the Browns would be coming off a 3-win season and Mike Tomlin could potentially be available, would I want the Browns to move heaven and earth to get him? Up until this year, up until really last year,
up until last week,
I would have said no, I don't. I mean, I would have said yes, do everything you can.
Of course.
Now I'm saying,
I've never seen a Pittsburgh Steelers team walk out there and just die,
right?
In a playoff game,
and we don't have a quarterback either, by the way. So it'd be one of those things. If we had that quarterback and we were ready to take off, we don't have that guy.
Kevin is not a. I'll tell you this. Kevin is not a motivator. I'll never accuse him of being one. In those playoff games, they didn't go out and die. They played their asses off. In the game against Houston, they ran to the wrong spot very hard against the Houston offense. Yeah, that was Oh, that was ugly on Saturday.
It was. It was bad all the way around, and that's it for about last night.
Also, the Browns hired Tommy Reese as their offensive coordinator, who was someone I would not have picked. I'll tell you why. That's Nick Saban back in 2023 at a press conference in Alabama talking about Tommy Reese and how he is going to be, well, he didn't know it then, but now Tommy Reese is going to be the offensive coordinator of your Cleveland Browns. I told you before the break, and I'll tell you why I wouldn't have picked him. I would have picked Clint Kubiak. Clint Kubiak kind of excites me. He's been a quarterback's coach, an offensive coordinator a couple of times. He's only 5 years older than Tommy Reese. Tommy Reese is 32 years old. Clint Kubiak is 37 years old. And frankly, I kind of wanted a different opinion in there. I kind of wanted an outsider's fresh perspective. There's a – and this is – I don't know if Tommy Reese is going to suck up the room. I'm not going to pound the table this morning and turn it into a great big fake diatribe. We got plenty of more important things to talk about when it comes to passion and emotion throughout this show today. I got more excited over Clint Kubiak than I did with Tommy Reese, mostly because Tommy Reese was part of a football team that was 3-14 last year. That's unfair to Tommy Reese. He might end up being the next Nick Saban, for all I know. I don't know if he's going. I think that Kevin Stefanski is going to take over play calling duty again. And in a lot of ways, rightfully so. I think Clint Kubiak is not going to be here. I think that Tommy Reese is going to be an idea man, and a lot like Alex Van Pelt. Game planning, a lot like Van Pelt. I think he's going to work with a quarterback. I think they're going to bring in a young quarterback, whether that's number two overall or, you know, at number 33 or wherever. They're going to bring in a young guy. I think they're going to bring in a vet. I think he's going to work with both of them. I know that he was there in 2023, so apparently people are always going to try to draw a conclusion to Jalen Milroe. Not going to take that off the board whatsoever. That would be a connection there, but I don't know if it would be the tea leaf that leads everything out there. So for Reese, yeah, there is some youthful exuberance, but I kind of would have liked a different opinion. Plus, I mean, we've had 2 years in a row of guys who are kind of famous for meltdowns in a press box, in a coaching box up in the press box during games.
This was, I guess we should have expected it. I mean, there was a lot of talk of Vrabel taking him. And so what do you know? After Vrabel gets hired, next thing you know, Tommy gets, you know, boosted up,
you know,
and gets to be the OC, which... You know, the OC, when you've got somebody else calling the plays, I always wonder what that truly means. Is that just a, hey, he's getting paid like an OC, or it's in name only? Like, what does it really mean for him to be OC? Because what was also interesting to me was we had got some intel that Mike Vrabel was really working with the offensive line and the tight ends, some special team stuff as well. Yeah. And what was Tommy Reese's job this year with the Cleveland Browns?
This was with tight ends.
It was with tight ends. Yeah. So he was working directly with Vrabel. And you would imagine if Vrabel, if he thought he was a really good mind, would try to pluck him. And if that was the case, then the Browns would need to give...
Going to give him a bump.
He'd have to give him a bump. So yeah. I think that's exactly what happened here. And that's not out of the ordinary. But it is hard to fathom. Maybe they think that because they went outside the box last year with the Dorsey hire, that they wanted to stay in-house this year. But it is very rare that guys like seem like they're getting rewarded for 3-14. Barry, you keep your job. Stefanski, you keep your job. We're going to elevate one of the young, bright minds that's in your organization. Well, and not only that, you got GM, or potential GMs interviewing within the Browns organization for other jobs outside. It's like, is anybody paying the price for 3-14, or are we just putting it all on Deshaun Watson?
There you go. I think we know who's paying the fiddler for 3-14. So more on that coming up at 7 o'clock.
It's almost like no one around the league really thought it was Stefanski's fault or Andrew Berry's fault. And obviously, guys are getting bumped up internally here. They don't really think that they were the problem.
It is unbelievable to me because I brought up at the beginning of this entire thing, like, if it doesn't work out, there will be scapegoating here. I never thought it would be going against Deshaun Watson that quickly. Because let me tell you this, a lot of it can be him. If he doesn't know how to read a defense, if he doesn't know how to pick up the offense, whatever it might be, and we may find that out over time, but it probably a lot might be on him. But damn, man, you're the head coach of the football team. You're the offensive staff of the football team. You're the general manager of the football team. Nah, there's some mud on your name, too. There's some dirt on your name for bringing him in, for not being able to find the offense the way it is. I'm not sure to make it work for him. But, I mean, they are telling you, without telling you, this guy was the pass game specialist last year, tight ends coach. They gave him the bump. They clearly don't think it's a Tommy Reeves problem. They did think it might be an Andy Dickerson problem. I would have agreed. They certainly like where Mike Vrabel is, and they didn't want to let Mike Vrabel take Tommy Reeves, so they gave him the bump. I just, because I'm more comfortable with somebody coming in to contribute new ideas to a 3-14 team, I would have liked to have picked Clint Kubiak. But it's all the wool's already died. Like, you guys are going to go out there, and if you suck up the room again, you're all going to go. I can't give you 2026. I don't see a way the Browns can give you 2026 if you suck up the room. So you know what the stakes are. So if you feel confident with Tommy Reese, fine, go right on ahead. Go right on ahead. When I say go right on ahead, it's not a challenge. You're the ones who make the decisions. You're the ones who know each other very well. If you're comfortable and confident, you go right on ahead and make such a decision.
It is kind of funny because I think a lot of people didn't know what to say about this, so they just took their cues from the audio that we played, which was from Nick Saban. And I also had this from Nick Saban about how good of a teacher he is, how very smart he is, how bright about football. He's the kind of person I think people see authentic in terms of how he comes across to people. He's a quick riser, did a great job for us. I'm happy with him, and he's going to crush it. From Nick Saban. That's him talking about Freddie Kitchens.
Now, everyone wants to know how we can get out of the rut that we're in and get back to winning games and making a run instead of making plans. I've talked to AB how we can make the most out of all the talent that is here. We're closer than some may think we are.
Does that make you feel? I'm not even addressing the Freddie Kitchens quote. We're going right to the HBO. Does that make you feel any better about the 2024 Browns?
No.
That's Myles Garrett on HBO.
No, I heard that, and I knew that a lot of people were going to say, we're not that far away. If Myles Garrett is saying that, we're not that far away. Makes me a little nervous, to be honest.
It makes me feel a little better.
Does it?
It makes me feel a little better. You need some ownership of the football team. You need some personal ownership of the football team. Myles Garrett's been here 8 years. There's been some things that I'm sure he's seen that he totally disagrees with. And there are times where, damn it, if you're going to get the job done right, you got to do it yourself. And if you want, I don't want him to be some passive, fine, whatever type of guy. I want him to be passionate about this team. I want him to see that there is the end of the line. I don't know about light at the end of the tunnel. There's an end of a line here with your career. And you need to take ownership of this football team. And I think he's tried to do that here, and I think that this right here is where he draws his line in the sand. I think he probably will get an extension, as Joel Corey had pointed out a couple of months ago, that, hey, there's more likely he's going to get an extension and get more money than it is he's going to be traded. I think that he's going to get those things, and I think with that, I think there's going to be power. Like he said that he's going to discuss it with the front office and some of these decisions. I think they're talking to him about decisions that they're going to make or moves that they're going to try to make. I think they're off the Watson. When I'm hearing this stuff from him, I think they're off the Watson scenarios, and I think they are moving on. And I'm thinking he knows the most important position. He's talked about it openly. I don't know what they have up their sleeve at quarterback, but I think he knows that they're going to try to do something that's going to be pretty newsworthy in some fashion. And I want to know what other people think. You think he's delusional.
I think he's sounding like, not, by the way, a diminishing amount of Browns fans, because I'm not hearing as much as I normally do in the off seasons. But I think he sounds like the typical Browns fan every off season that thinks they're not that far away. When I could go through the list, I go through the catalog of reasons why I do not think they're Super Bowl contenders next year.
So you heard that clip of Myles Garrett. That was from Hard Knocks HBO last night. Does it make you feel better? Or do you think Miles is delusional? 216-474-0092.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.